This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Timer on, sorry. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. We begin in the name of Allah. All praise and glory be to Allah. And may His finest peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and all those who tread his path. May Allah grant us and you a life upon his path and a death upon his path and a reunion around him. Allahumma ameen. You know, it's one of the forgotten sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind of the prophecies, the promises that Allah gave regarding the future, the outcome of this ummah, the good news that will come after the hardships, whenever hardships test people's faith. So for example, when Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu was mentioned earlier, came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, people before you went through much worse as a form of consolation. But then he said to him, and Allah for sure will keep his promise, will fulfill this affair, will give Islam the front row, the spotlight, the victory and the triumph that he promised the believers. He will give it to this ummah, but you're just being impatient. And when the believers were caught off guard right before the Battle of Badr, and they did not come out to fight, they did not come equipped to face an army, at a moment when people would doubt and their faith would be tested, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as Umar says, kneeled down in the battlefield the night before and said, so and so will fall right here. And he prophesied, and so will fall right here, and so will fall right there, naming each of the leaders of Quraysh, which were essentially almost all of them that would die the next day in the Battle of Badr, and not a single one of them the next day fell in any other spot. And during the Battle of Khaybar, when it was a deadlock, when nothing was happening, the Muslims were trying to lay siege to one of the fortresses, just when you think there's no hope, there's no point, we cannot hold off any longer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is granted by Allah the permission to unveil to them another prophecy. And he said, tomorrow. He only said it on that night. He's never wrong, alayhi salatu wasalam. He doesn't guess, alayhi salatu wasalam. Tomorrow I will give the flag to someone that loves Allah and His Messenger and is loved by Allah and His Messenger, that Allah will grant liberty or liberation or conquest at his hands. And that happened the next day after he gave Ali ibn Abi Talib the flag. And they continue to be this way throughout his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so we need to adopt this sunnah in our lives as well, whenever the going gets tough. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ الْغُرَبَاءِ. This is of paramount importance whenever Islam starts being antagonized, stigmatized, being seen as the oddball out. He said Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being something strange. By the way, that's a prophecy in and of itself. And then he says, فَطُوبَ الْغُرَبَاء. Congratulations, glad tidings. In the middle of all of this, yes, glad tidings. There is good coming out of it. Great coming out of it. Congratulations. Why congratulations? Well, it's enough that you're on the path of the prophets, first of all. And you need to realize that when this prophecy starts manifesting, you see Islam being considered just so strange, like it once was, right? The Prophet ﷺ was called a liar and abused and boycotted and slandered and fought. Nowadays, we're called backwards and we're called treacherous and we're called ruthless, even though we're the victims most of the time. And sometimes these accusations even come from within. In the middle of all of that, congratulations. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, through that, is setting you up for prestige. He's setting you up for stardom. He's setting you up for the red carpet, literally. You're going to become a celebrity. I'm not making this stuff up just as empty pep talk, baseless inspirations. No, in one of the ahadith even, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, طُوبَ الْغُرَبَاء, طُوبَ means glad tidings, literally. Linguistically, it means glad tidings, like congratulations, good is in store for you. But in one of the incidents when he said this, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what's طُوبَ? Like, what's the congrats? He said, طُوبَ is also, it is a tree in paradise that is massive. So massive that if someone were riding under it, meaning on horseback, for 100 years, they wouldn't interrupt its shade. Meaning a lifetime and a half, basically. You'd be riding through its shade. But this is not the point. He says, and out of the leaves of this tree, the tree of Tuba, the garments of the people of paradise are made. The garments of the strangers. They're dressed differently. They're celebrities. They will have their stardom. Allah Azza wa Jal will celebrate you. Why would you be celebrated though? Are you the best of Allah's creation? You might just well be. You see, because Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being as a very unique creature. You're a unique minority in His universe, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not the angels, you are not the animals. Though they're superior to us in so many different ways, right or wrong, they are. But Allah Azza wa Jal created the human being with amazing features that are unique. He filled you with emotions, very special kinds of emotions. He filled you with fears, and He filled you with desires, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the best of us, even the prophets of God had this inside of themselves. Why? So that a very special act of worship, a very special act of servitude to Allah, a very special act of devotion and love for Allah can be expressed, which is what? You repelling those fears, repelling those emotions, repelling those desires that you have, and not serving yourself, but instead preferring Him and serving Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we could have been angels, but Allah wanted something out of us that was more beloved to Him, that was superior in His eyes, that the angels can't perform. And that is the servitude of sacrifice, the servitude of perseverance. That's why Allah created evil, allowed it to exist, meaning that which we perceive as evil. He created it though He hates it. And Allah created these phenomena though many of them He has forbidden, right? Haram, acts, corruption. And He caused to exist shayateen, devils, whether human or jinn, so that He may see from you this great act of worship, this resistance, this fight from you, this sacrifice in you. By the way, that's why the angels themselves, they were perplexed. They didn't understand what's so special about the human being, and why would Allah create human beings? Like, what's the secret here? And when Allah told them, I'm creating humans, they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. We don't get it. You're going to create a creature on earth, that's us, that's going to corrupt the earth, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ, and spill so much blood. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, and we celebrate your praises, we glorify you by night and day. قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He said, I know something. I know something about these humans that you don't know. What did He know, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about us? Of what He knew about us, that among humanity, even if the majority of us may go bad, may go corrupt, despite the odds being stacked against humanity, meaning the majority of them are pushing in a certain direction, there's going to arise among them the likes of the prophets, the likes of the pious, the likes of the patient, the likes of the perseverant. These are the people that will rise in the darkest hour. These are the people that will embrace preferring Allah over preferring the planet, over appeasing the world, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would be their priority. They'll believe when the whole world doubts, and they'll behave according to His pleasure when everyone else says, that's strange, that's weird, that's old school, that's backwards, that's crazy. They will accept that. That is what would make them so special. And that is what would make them the best of the creation of Allah. May Allah make us and you of them. Say Ameen. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The people who actually do this, despite the challenge, despite the estrangement, despite the emotional roller coaster, despite the pressure, those who still believe and commit themselves to do good deeds, they are the best of the creation of Allah. Even better than the angels? Yes, even better than the angels. That's why also when they get to paradise, I pray this story is our story. Say Ameen. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow this ending to be our ending. And let this be our Cinderella story. May we fit this description. Ya Rab. When they get to paradise, in Surah Al-Ra'd, Allah says what? وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. The angels will come to them from every door. They will enter up like you're a celebrity. People are attacking every door, every window. They're trying to see you, trying to sit with you, trying to take pictures of you, trying to just, you know, admire you, stare. The angels come from every door. But what do the angels say? It's very relevant what they say. It is very telling what they say. They explain why they admire you. They say, Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. Peace be upon you. Like, lucky you. You get to finally relax. Peace be upon you for the patience that you showed, for the perseverance that you showed, for the sacrifice that you showed, for the endurance that you showed. Peace be upon you for the patience that you showed. Because the angels don't have patience, because they have no use for patience. Angels don't have the impulses. They don't have the desires. They don't have the leanings that you have. And that's why when you overcome what they never overcame, you climb higher than them. That's the whole key. It's going to be your jihad that Allah is looking for. The fight that you're going to put up. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you presume that you will enter paradise without Allah first seeing from you who will put up the fight? And who will be of the patient? So Allah loves to see from you that you fight yourself for Him. So you're being pulled one way. You're so tempted. Feels so good. Everybody's doing it. This is the easy way to... And you resist for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or He's pulling you forward, telling you, be here now. But you just want to be comfortable. You just want to be easy. And so you drag yourself out of your laziness for Him. And you continue doing this for Him. And by the way, the challenge in it, the difficulty in it, the uphill in it, is very temporary. And then Allah facilitates it more and more and accelerates you more and more towards His pleasure. But you're going to continue in this, though you desired ease, though you desired fitting in, though you desired whatever you desired, until you are crowned by Him, crowned by the King in His presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in an amazing hadith about the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, people will be so desperate to drink on the Day of Judgment, so thirsty, and Allah will erect for all the people the false gods they used to worship, and every single one of them will chase after them and be disappointed. And then a group, the true believers. May Allah fill our hearts with conviction and true faith. Allahumma ameen. The true believers will stay behind. They won't run anywhere. And they will be told, Ala taridun, aren't you guys going to go find the water like everybody else? Aren't you going to chase down? Aren't you desperate? And so they will ignore that invitation. And they will call out to their Lord the way they've always been calling out to Allah for help. But what will they say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they're going to say, رَبَّنَا فَارَقْنَا النَّاسَ أَفْقَرَ مَا كُنَّا إِلَيْهِمْ. O Allah, we are the people that went separate ways from the people, from everybody else, when we needed them the most. We're not going to follow the crowd today. This is our very last one. This is the very last stride, the very last crossroads, the very last sacrifice we need to make. We're not going anywhere until Allah Azza wa Jal Himself will come to them. and show them a sign from him that he foretold in his book that he would show them, so they will recognize him. And so they will prostrate to him and none other than him, and be elevated by him and crowned by him. And the very last thing we need to say about this hadith, after why they're so commendable, the prestige of being a stranger, embrace it, understand the secret behind it, why Allah loves it from you, why Allah set up the drawing board this way, the examination room called life this way, is what does it mean to be a stranger? Islam doesn't require of us to be weirdos for the sake of being weirdos, right? Like, whatever is weird, I'll do it, because glad tidings to the strangers. That's not it. And don't think that the Prophet ﷺ is going to speak about the strangers in over 20 ahadith, and the Sahaba aren't going to be eager enough, or he's not going to be keen enough on delineating for us, definitively defining for us clearly who these strangers are. So they said to him, who are these strangers, Ya Rasulullah? In many different ahadith. I'll mention to you three answers, and they all go hand in hand, by the way. They're inseparable. He said in one answer, الَّذِينَ يَصْلُحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. And that goes without saying. These are the people that insist on remaining upright when the people have become corrupt. That's number one. Number two, he says, الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ. Those who, this is a checklist for you, so that you be resurrected a stranger. May Allah glorify us and you. Those who rectify what the people have corrupted. You're not going to save them, obviously, from drowning if you can't swim. So you're upright when they're corrupt. Your actions are going to precede your speech. But at the same time, you are not going to be silent. You are not going to be non-factor. You are not going to sit back and accept and concede and give up ground and not put a dent in falsehood, whatever capacity Allah gave you to put a dent in it. You're not going to betray humanity by assimilating to the point that you're deceiving them and misleading them just so they'll accept you. That would be very selfish. That would be very disgraceful. No, you are not just upright in your home while people are corrupt. You are someone who works to rectify what the people have corrupted. And the third one, which is the underlying factor and on how we're going to do both, he says, الَّذِينَ يُحْيُونَ مَا أَمَاتَ النَّاسُ مِن سُنَّتِي. They are those who revive what the people have put to death, what the people have buried of my sunnah, of my example. And that is extremely important. That's why I began by saying it's not to be a weirdo. Because being a stranger means being pleasing to Allah, which means being aligned with His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, right? It doesn't mean being the opposite of a certain thing that you perceive as pure evil, as a reaction to a current evil, because reactions are always imbalanced. And I don't want to get philosophical about this, but at the end of the day, your righteousness, your uprightness, your reform, your rectification of others is going to be as defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so you're going to be a person of principles, regardless of the circumstances. You're not going to sway with the waves. And so you're not going to back away from your religion when the wave says back away from your religion in post-Christian America or a similar context. At the same time, you're not going to become a militant, combative, argumentative, merciless, insensitive person who's harsh in presenting their religion. And no one will be able to balance both. Except someone who knows Allah, dedicates their life to understanding His book and His deen, dedicates their life to studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and over and over and over again, and asks Allah to show them their blind spots, and we all have many, so that we can be worthy to be those who are celebrated, those who are inducted into stardom in human history, in the history of this universe, the celebrity status of the strangers. Jazakallahu khairan everybody, wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum.